Hello, Rebecca. Hello, listeners.
Hello, Natalie. Hello, listeners.
Hello, Rebecca.
It is us.
So what week are we covering here in this here energy report?
Yeah, welcome to the energy report. This is Monday, September 10th to Sunday, September 16th.
Cool.
It is still very warm on the East Coast. I'm sweating over here. So excuse me if I do a lot of waggling on the camera.
And I want to say, I'm sorry, everybody, about how poor the sound quality has been. My move just, I did not plan well. So it'll be better soon. Thank you for hanging in there. If you're a new listener, it's not always like this. All right.
Yeah, actually, I listened to some of last week. I didn't think it sounded that bad.
Cool.
So, this week we're going to talk about a little bit of an extension of last week because we have an additional element that's happening on the Sunday before this week starts, so the day before. But all in all, there is some, you know, we've had those kind of intense tarot cards the last 3 weeks especially, and we really get some positive affirmation through this, the theme and the ritual and the tarot this week. So I feel like, you know, it's going to be a nice shift in energy after Saturn's gone direct. You know, I feel like that was really feeling limitation, restriction, feeling held back. And so that's going to start to really move forward. And I think also the shift from Mercury in Leo to Mercury in Virgo is a big positive adjustment that we'll all start to really feel this week, because it was, you know, the final days of Mercury in Leo felt very dramatic. And then shift into Virgo helps us to really be able to put things in their right place, perceptions wise and intellectually speaking. So this week our weekly theme is there's a little motorized scooter going by, sorry. The weekly theme is, with gratitude in my body, I am able to receive. So receiving is such a hard thing to open up to, because I think we were like, yeah, I'm ready to fucking receive, you know, I think we all say that. And then when it comes down to it, when it's actually happening, we're like, ah, this hurts. You know, it hurts and it brings up all my doubts and fears.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, so, yeah.
So I think there's a process to opening to receive too. And so that's kind of like part of the ritual this week too. The ritual I picked was a writing practice. And this writing practice is, my life has been successful and I have much to be proud of myself for. You know, oftentimes, like when we're in moments of not knowing and uncertainty, you know, we automatically awfulize everything. You know, we're like, these fearful things might happen again. These things I didn't like may happen again. So this writing practice is all about all those times when the good shit happened, and reminding yourself, you know, reminding yourself of that time where work was uncertain, home was uncertain, love was uncertain, yet it took a turn and you did meet somebody and you did get a good job, or you got a raise, or you were able to manifest the money for a certain thing. So this week's writing ritual is really all about seeing how much we do receive, and focusing on our ability to call things in that we've already done, focusing and encouraging ourselves of like, yeah, these are all of these amazing feats that I've already gotten myself through. And when we look at that, you know, we can't help but be proud of ourselves, because every single one of us has gotten ourselves through so much shit in our lives. You know, it's a miracle that we're all here. You know, it's a miracle. Some of us, maybe we had crazy births, and when we were born, we had to fight for our lives. Maybe we had illness when we were children, or came from divorce or abusive childhoods, and we had to fight to survive. Like, maybe school was like terrifying and really difficult for us. You know, there's just all these things that we have gathered up the strength to get through. And it's easy to remind ourselves of the bad times, but this week's ritual is just about like reminding yourself of the good times and the things to be proud of, your successes, you know, times when you were scared, but you pushed through and things worked themselves out. I don't know. Did we talk about my car last week, Natalie?
I think we did. I can't remember what was private and what was recorded.
Well, I didn't pick it up until Tuesday, so I don't think we actually probably did.
Okay.
So for our listeners, you know, I live upstate in New York in a small town where it really is pretty difficult to live here without a car. And I've done so for a year. And it was manageable, obviously, because I did it. But I was really getting to my wit's end this summer because I felt super trapped in this small town without being able to, like, especially with all the heat, I just wanted to, like, be able to drive to some kind of watering hole and just, like, jump in or anything. And so I started looking for a car, and I spent a lot of money, like, with trying to find a car, basically, because with pre-purchase inspections and all those kind of things, because I didn't want a car from like a dealership or anything like that. I wanted an older vehicle, a diesel that could be converted when I'm ready vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So biodiesel. Yeah, exactly. So I spent a lot of money doing it and a lot of time, and it just wasn't coming together. And then Mercury retrograde happened, and it was just like this fucking thing for the last 3.5 months where I was like, I just felt more and more trapped. And I felt like I didn't know anything about cars or the process of buying cars. And I felt totally ill prepared. And I felt like I didn't have anyone to support me in finding a car, like a family member or anything like that. And I just, the whole process to me was super stressful, but I just kept like being like, it's just a car. You're fine. It's just a fucking car. You've lived without a car. Like, it's not the end of the world. You're not trapped. Like, you'll be okay. And I ended up like, this car just came out of nowhere, and I ended up getting it on eBay. And it's like this amazing car that's worth, the value of it is so much more than I paid. And I actually ended up paying $1,100 for it. And the number 11 of just like being careful, not being careful, but being conscientious of your thoughts because they're manifesting your reality. And it really is, that is like what happened with this car. Because anytime I'd be like so bummed out, like wasting a whole day to go and look at a car somewhere, taking a train, spending money on it, it being a lemon, dealing with dishonest people, just like the whole process that was very frustrating to me. You know, I kept being like, spirit's going to bring me the car, spirit's going to bring me the car. And the man who sold me the car, you know, I had to send him a small deposit before I went to look at it and pick it up. And he had told me that because I sent it through PayPal, he had looked at my website. And he said, I knew this was my car when he was like, you know, I saw your website and I'm just so happy that a benevolent being is going to be driving it. And I was like, you know, this man has just loved this car. This is a safe car. This is a car that's in really good shape. It's as if my dad handed me down a car or something, you know, like my spiritual dad. So like all the things came together, but it took months and months and months. And I was like, this ain't going to happen. I'm going to be trapped here. Get me the hell out of this town. Maybe I should just move back to New York. But anyway, long story short, you know, like just a lot of things that we are manifesting are just taking their sweet ass time this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it has been really a process of like patience and like being like, it's going to come through. Shit comes through for you. It's going to be all right, you know, and reminding yourself like, okay, it's not this car. It's not this time. It's not this job. It's not this person, but it's going to happen. It's going to drop in your lap. And then just like the total surprise of having things come together too. It's just like total surprise. It never comes because you fucking knew it was coming. It's always like such a fell out of the sky kind of thing. Yeah, like when you found your apartment too, right? Like
totally.
Being all stressed and not knowing if you're going to find it, and then it just falling out of the sky.
Right. And just, and even just taking the steps, like you had to go look at cars. And I feel like it's in taking those steps, and sometimes they're very frustrating, but those are the steps mm-hmm. that really sharpen the vision and the clarity of what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. And that doesn't mean that you know, you can put your finger on the details or like write out exactly what it is, but you have that closer feeling of, oh, hell yes, or oh, hell no. And then when the hell yes really comes, you know it because you did all that clarifying exploratory work.
Yeah. And, you know, something like getting a car might seem like a fickle thing, but it is also like for, I'm a single woman, I live up here by myself. It's also like my means of,
I think
like,
it's practical AF.
Yeah, it's a practical thing that, and you'd be surprised. I think we'd all be surprised because sometimes I think we think of those things in very simple terms. But how, if you've never bought a car before, it actually is like a very, like, there's a lot of moving parts to it, first of all. There's just like a lot of shit to do. There's like a lot of different information that, I had to go to I didn't even know how to buy a car. Like, I wasn't sure how you did that from a person and what you needed. And you do, you need different stuff. You need to have all the insurance beforehand. You know, there's like lots of different, just like pieces. Like, if you want to buy a house, you know, like there's all these different things that no one really that you never really know. You definitely don't learn about it in school, which you probably should, because it's probably some of the most important things you need to learn is about like your taxes and mortgages and shit like that, so that you know kind of what to expect, because nobody knows, you know, and we're just not taught these very practical things. And so for someone who might not have a connection to family and stuff like that, someone that can kind of guide them through it, it does become kind of a scary process sometimes to rent an apartment or do any of these things, you know? So yeah, it's like, I think sometimes we feel like we're not, you know, if anything can become something that is triggering or stressful, no matter how like mundane level or simple it seems like it should
or
be.
Or even how exciting and how much, if something you really wanted, that can still do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I do want to also touch on how much joy and excitement I've witnessed in you from finding this aligned, fun, gorgeous, safe, affordable, reliable car. And that is so awesome.
It's the fucking coolest car.
It's so cool.
Car. It is such a looker. It's a 1984 Mercedes-Benz 300 turbo diesel. And it
gold.
Is like
gold.
It is gold. And it is like a looker. It is a
awesome.
Looker. It's in perfect condition. I mean, I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed that about everything. I feel so blessed about the whole process and so grateful. And it's just been like, I mean, it's been awesome. It's been such an amazing experience, to be honest. And the man who sold it to me, I just like, I'm so grateful for him too. And it's interesting because a lot of the stuff I've been personally working on this year is to do with healing father stuff, you know, healing ruptured connection to, like the men who broke my heart, basically the original caregivers who, betrayed me in some way, you know, as a little girl. And, you know, I do think that spirit is always trying to send us these people, to show us that, you know, there is safety and there is protection and there is service from the divine masculine as well, sometimes in the form of men or women, you know, and, you know, we really do have to keep our eyes open to that. So even though it's a car transaction, I did feel like, you know, it made me feel very positive about that kind of fatherly energy of someone who wants to make, you know, this man was like, I drove 3 hours home in the car and he was like, please text me when you get there. And then he sent me this long text with like all of the little things that maybe need to be looked at on the car and just like how to do certain things with it. And this really in-depth checklist. And, you know, it was, he was just so kind and sweet with that like fatherly type energy, even though, you know, I'll probably never talk to him again.
And, I'm like, can you adopt him?
As my dad? Yeah, yeah. He was a really handsome, cool dad too. So cool. I feel like I would have like, he would have been like a great dad. But yeah, you know, so some of that stuff was also helping me to feel more supported. And also, like, I had asked my mom to take me to pick up this car because I had to take a train for 2 hours and then drive for an hour and 15 minutes to go get the car. And my brother had said that he wanted to do it instead. And so it became this opportunity for me to become closer with my brother, too. So there were just like all these gifts, these like gifts for me in how, you know, just that connection to that fatherly energy of like, you know, like all my friends that are women have always like shown up. And then there's this different kind of energy of like really feeling that there were some males that were showing up for me, which felt like it was a good balancing in my life, you know, for the personal inner work, healing work that I'm going through, you know, to do with my wounding and stuff at the moment. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, anyways, cool. Enough about me.
Well, and we're not just talking about it to talk about you, but it's more this example of like how even something so practical or mundane or exciting, I mean, it's all these things, mm-hmm. is getting a car, is this journey of alignment and holds the potential for healing. And yeah. And that's what I, you know, I have very similar experiences that have to do with that, very similar themes. And, you know, it's these mundane everyday things that can hold so much magic if you're open to it. So I feel like that's kind of the, one of the points, whatever anyone takes away from this, of course, is legit, but that's what I see.
Absolutely. And I think that like, it is also about that just regular old life is practical, is practicing spirituality. You know, like we don't just like, we're practicing our spirituality in everything that we're doing. So it's not necessarily just about like the actual uber spiritual things we might do, you know, or going to workshops and going to classes. Like all of the learning actually comes through our regular ass lives, the regular ass things that we have to do have such amazing teachable moments and moments of manifestation and moments of receiving and goodness that really might not on the outside have anything to do with spirituality. And that's really where the spirituality lies, is in us integrating all of the spiritual into our practical real lives, just like what we're doing, and starting to kind of like use our spirituality as a framework to make everything more fulfilling in our life and to make everything feel more aligned, and not that it's like, here's my real life and here's my spirituality and there's some kind of separate things, you know? Yeah,
totally. Totally. Wow.
Yeah. So this week's tarot, which I love this image, and I kind of want to put it up on the Dream Freedom Beauty in the show notes maybe.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Because I just like, especially after all of these like cups and everybody's like, you know, like everybody's like the Five of Cups, it's like this dark figure all, and then the Eight of Cups, just like that like bummed out cups cards. I'm just so,
the
I just love
cups.
The bummer cups. I was just so, it was so nice to pull this today. It's the Seven of Pentacles. And in this, you know, it's the woman is obviously like the passage of the moon above, and she's pregnant and she's just like sitting in bliss, basically, you know, she's very mellow. Her face is not pissed off or angry. Like she knows she's probably going to give birth at any time. She's just like really full of that creative energy. And I feel like this,
and she's a rainbow.
And she's a rainbow, and she's surrounded by nature, and then it's like watery down here. You know, she's waiting. She's full of creative potential. She's ready to give birth in divine timing. She doesn't know when she's going to give birth. She doesn't know the exact time or what's truly going to happen. She's just sort of like holding a space of peace and resolve and surrender and relaxation, ultimately, of just like a relaxed waiting. So this, you know, this card asks us to relax after periods of, you know, lots of work, you know, that it's really about we're building, we're preparing. And sometimes we need to just like sit back again and like have patience and trust that everything's unfolding in divine timing and make sure that we're like not just striving and pushing, you know, getting the baby's room ready and all the painting and stuff, but also just like, okay, so now I'm also just sitting and waiting and, you know, almost meditating on the experience as well. So I feel like this card is really about reviewing, reflecting, and resting. It's, you know, saying to spirit, I don't know how it's coming to me or when, but I trust and I'm open that all is unfolding beyond my wildest dreams, you know? And that's the hardest part really. 'Cause we're like, wait, I should be doing something to manifest it. And I think also, you know, back to the fucking car analogy again, you know, it was a process of like acting when I could and letting go when I couldn't, you know? So I really didn't want to buy a car during Mercury retrograde. So I had to really be like, you know, beforehand, I was so excited to find a car. I thought I had the one and it was a piece of shit. So I had to really surrender and be patient and be like, okay, well, I've got about like four or five weeks here that I'm going to have to be patient. And then I will get the search back up and it's going to be okay. And just like constantly kind of like a little bit here, a little bit there. But then just this like temperance, you know, of just acting, but not acting so that I am stressing myself out. You know, a few baby steps forward here, and then when I start to feel that like resistance and anxiety, okay, time for me to give it back over to spirit. Spirit will figure it out, you know. And that's what this card is all about, really, is just like you are building what you need to build. Your creation is incubating, you know, you are fertilized and, you know, these things you're going to give birth at the right time. And sometimes it'll be a surprise. It'll always be a surprise when you're going to give birth, I think, right? Like you never know.
Unless it's one of those ultimately times where they schedule something.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But even then, but generally, surprises can still happen.
That's right. In general, you know, it's ready when it's ready and the baby's ready when the baby's ready to come out. So, yeah, your projects that you're building, your relationships that you're invested in, yourself, your inner work, you know, all the things are happening, you know, and just because we're not always seeing the actual physical manifestation, it doesn't mean it's not coming. And that's also why the writing practice this week is going to be so important, because it's about reminding yourself of all those times when you were scared it wasn't going to show up. And then lo and behold, it did show up, you know, even if things don't last forever, you know, still reminding yourself of that lover that you met, that you had shared a great love with, even if the relationship changed, you know what I'm saying? So just like tapping into, all of that success that you've already experienced, you know, in manifesting and receiving what it is that you desire.
Hey, I just had a think. So if anyone listening has done any of the rituals, why don't you post them and hashtag them like energy report ritual and let us see or hear or know about your experience. I'd love that.
Yeah, like how your week was, how it like supported you.
Mm-hmm.
And hashtag us both.
Yeah. tag us both. Definitely. I'm so grateful for all the shares. Tag that Rebecca Conran in there too so she can see it.
That's right. Yeah. So I get to see too. I like to send you guys hearts.
Love.
And love.
Yeah. Something if we do all these rituals. And it'd be so fun to see people's interpretations and experiences with that, if they want. No pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure.
If you did the intention candle, too, I'd love to see.
I'm fixing up to do that.
Creatively, what that looked like, too.
I know, right?
But maybe we should post on Insta this week, too, and just tell people.
So. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, show us. Show us your shit. Nice. Okay, so last week, you know, on Sunday 9/9, what a fucking date, right? 9/9, endings, new beginnings, completion, full circle. We had the new moon in Virgo. And something that I didn't discuss last week that we're going to discuss this week is Venus also went into Scorpio the day before this report. So 9/9. On the same day as our new moon in Virgo. So Venus is, this is like an important shift because we are really going to be kind of like the Mars retrograde that we just had, which is also coming full circle, you know, this week as well. This is a period of time that is really going to come full circle. So Venus is our planet of romance, but also values and self-worth and money. And it is, as it goes into, it's been in Libra and it's going into Scorpio. So in Libra, you know, we've been thinking about harmony, balance, possibly justice, in terms of bringing things up to, it's the weighing scales, you know, bringing things up to speed with, I always think of Venus as self-worth and self-value at its core, because that then is the structure that we build our romance and relationships on, you know? So it's always like that rooted element in it that, is what we manifest romance from. And that's the most important part sometimes, because we're manifesting from our belief system. So if our self-value and our self-worth is limited, then we'll find that out pictured in our romantic relationships and possessions and things like that as well sometimes. So with Libra, we were looking for balance and justice, and now we're seeking passion and emotional depth with that Scorpio energy. You know, Venus in Libra was at home because Venus does rule Libra, and now it's, you know, going into a pretty intense place. We want to really pay close attention to what's going on at this time, because in 1 month we're going to experience Venus retrograde in this energy. So sometimes this is the buildup, maybe sometimes the breakdown, or where we see foundations kind of crumbling. The retrograde is where we get to kind of work on the inner process, and then we're going to go back over everything. So we're going.
So we're going to be Venus and Scorpio for a while.
We are, and back into Venus and Libra again.
Okay.
So we will. Yeah, we're going to go all the way through it, then we're going to come all the way back into Libra again, then we're going to go back forward through it. So this is might be a hot, steamy time. Could be like a dynamic sexual time, because Scorpios love to fuck. No, I'm sorry. Just joking. No, but it's a sexy
sex
energy,
and death, you know? Is what I think of when I think of Scorpio.
The little death, right? The orgasm.
All the deaths. Death. They're like, take it. I'll give it. Take it. Give it to me.
Yeah.
I can't talk.
That's right. So what is currently on the scene in these terms? You know, who are you dating? If you're dating yourself, what are the mental perceptions and emotional currents to your self-worth and self-value that you are transforming? Because we know Scorpio is also the sign of transformation. So there are things about us that we are going to continue to like unearth, and especially to do with codependency, separation anxiety, obsession, compulsion, jealousy, secrets, denial, deceit, the underbelly, the shadow work.
Good times.
Scorpio wants to do shadow work, but it also has the courage to do shadow work. So it's like, yeah, let's do some shadow work, because I know how to do shadow work. So even though it can seem very scary, you know, there's also that energy available to actually do this work with this energy that is not available in some of the other maybe lighter placements of Venus and Scorpio. This is, you want to know why you can't have a successful relationship? This is the energy that is going to help transform that, you know? And no one is free of that. You know, I definitely experience all of the good, the bad, the ugly as well. So we might have to look at the underbelly. We definitely will have to look in some way at the underbelly of some of our experiences. And I think especially to do with pleasure and instant gratification. And maybe that has to do with like needing approval or just those like little those things that we go for when it's like when we I broke it down to having to sort out why we continually skip the nourishing meal to have the after dinner drink, you know? That's basically like the energy that we're looking at here. It's like we cut corners.
That's like that bypassing sort of.
Yeah. Like we cut corners for the payoff, but the payoff doesn't last. You know, it's like a short, quick, instant gratification. And then we're left like that really wasn't nourishing because I skipped all the parts that looked hard.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
that, but
straight
but
up addiction too.
Exactly. And all of us, all of us have some element of our personality and psyche that is affected by this, whether it's to do with work, romance, you know,
your thoughts are addicted to worry.
Thoughts. Yeah. So, you know, what we are attracting to us through our innermost beliefs and feelings about ourselves is really becoming more accessible to us, not only from a point of analyzing, but of a point of really moving through those feelings. Those are two completely different things. I think not one person on this earth doesn't know kind of what their problems are. I think it's easy to know what your issues, it's easier to know what your issues are, but no matter what, you can't analyze away the feelings. You know, if you, just because we know what our issues are doesn't mean we're integrating and processing the feeling of it. And then when that actually hits you, it's insane because you're like on a ball on the floor sobbing and you're like, and that's
you're like
feeling.
Venus and Scorpio.
Yeah. And I was just talking to my friend about it today. Cause I'm like, you know, when you actually feel your feelings, it's like puking all night or like having diarrhea or something, you know, it's like those moments when you're super sick and you've got to get it out the physical system. And then all of a sudden you feel better. Feelings have to be processed the same way. So even though you're crying or whatever you're doing, you know, like it's similar to it's releasing toxicity in the physical body too, you know, an energetic toxicity and it needs a physical release. Mm-hmm. So, but we're scared of those moments because they're scary moments.
Because they take over our mental capacity to, quote, be in control, which is like, you know, the ego's worst nightmare.
And we think, am I going crazy? And, you know, should I be hospitalized? And all of these things that we've been taught to think, which is what we talked about, I think, last week, too, about, like, you know, it's totally normal. We see kids do it all the time. They fucking cry and scream, and then 2 minutes later, they laugh and they're happy. And, you know, it's not, we don't think, wow, child, you're mentally ill, baby. You know, we're like, okay, you have a need and you have a painful feeling and you're expressing it and we're going to nurture it. You know, we're going to give you what you need, your physical nourishment, your emotional nourishment, your encouragement. And then you're going to move on to the next emotion for yourself, you know, and we need the same thing, but we need, you know, spiritual nourishment and different kinds of affection and nurturing.
Reparenting ourselves because we're the parents of ourselves now, you know, that's
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, you know, we talk a lot about the like heavy, hard emotions, but then it's also, are you able to express joy and delight and love and if you want ecstasy, whatever that feels like. And some people, you know, if you're suppressing one end, probably suppressing the other end. It's the whole spectrum.
Yeah. You know, and there's that seesaw effect of just like getting used to being emotional, you know? But eventually it stabilizes. But it takes time and you need support. And like, that's just it. We've got to be getting support. I get support all the time, you know, and that is, I'm no different from anybody else. I have like the same fears. I have the same struggles. So does Natalie. Like we have moments of doubt and sadness and difficulty.
I'm a hot mess sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a hot ass mess. You know, but like, you know, I at some point we knew that we had to surrender to like getting support and utilizing our tools too. And they work if you use them. So, yeah, as we process this Venus retrograde, we're going to be looking at blocked and buried emotions more clearly. We're going to feel them deeply. And then as we move back and forth through Libra, we're going to bring harmony and rational understanding to the emotional process. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're going to go through in the emotional stuff in Scorpio, some of it is going to be fact and some of it's going to be fiction because it's emotion. It's just like emotions that we're holding on to. Not all of it is going to be like reality. Just because I feel brokenhearted about something doesn't literally mean that I have a heart that is broken. Do you know what I'm saying? And doesn't work anymore. It's just like, we have to process this emotional information. And then with Libra, because Libra is an intellectual air energy, it's going to help us kind of create better perception around the emotional stuff. So I feel like it's a nice kind of, it'll be a nice shift to go from one to the other, especially because Venus is so at home in Libra too. And we will need that kind of harmonizing energy after a lot of the watery depths. Nice. So
Venus goes into Scorpio on the 9th of September, 9-9. And then when does it start retrograding? It's not for a few weeks, right?
I believe, hold on one sec. I think it's on the 8th of October.
Okay, so we have a little time before it retrogrades.
Yeah, it's mid-October.
Yeah, so this isn't happening this week. Just for listeners.
Absolutely not. It's in a month's time. But it's, I can't remember. But we could talk about it next week on the call as well.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more as we get closer.
Yeah, and it's just me. It's more about just being mindful about like some of these themes. You know, you might have them coming up right now. Some of the energy with the shift. You may feel it really intensely. You know, and feel the breakdown really intensely. And that's not to say the whole retrograde period is going to be about the breakdown. I mean, the whole Mars retrograde we just had wasn't all about breakdown. Some of it was about repurposing the way that we act in the world and figuring shit out. And I thought it was like incredibly difficult at times and then absolutely full of just deep, deep wisdom and information, you know? So this retrograde is going to be the same. And we don't have to be, you know, let's like, try not to be like, another fucking retrograde. I thought we were coming out of all the retrogrades. There is a lot of energy supporting us right now. And this energy supports us. You know, while it's not always clear, something meaningful is growing for us within these pockets of disruption and then rebuilding. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like it's like just life, you know, in life, like for me, I know I'll go, I feel like these retrogrades are like cleaning out your cupboards and closets and junk drawers and whatever that you've kind of tossed aside. And by the time you've been through a whole array of retrogrades, the one you did the longest time ago is probably ready for another clean out. And it's just like with taking care of a house or a home, you know, you have to clean one room and then like you clean another and then the other room's dirty and just keep, like, we have to clean out these things. This is life. This is just how it happens.
And, yes.
You know, we don't reach that, like, done point. That's death.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. We always have to clean our bodies, even if you don't do manual labor or something.
Clean it out.
Your body needs to clean. You got to poop every day. You know, you got to shower sometimes. You got to clean the house. You got to wash the sheets. Mm-hmm. Not as a punishment. Not as a punishment. It's not because we did something bad. You know, that we are experiencing that. It's just, it's what life is like on Earth. And it's the same way with our physical health, our emotional health, our mental health. You know,
and
our spiritual health. We're constantly renewing ourselves, you know. So what to watch with this energy is drama, projected anger and rage, you know, dishonesty, denial, obsession, compulsion. You know, all of these things coming to light for healing, not so we can judge them and be like, think we're a piece of shit, but so we can be like, oh, that's something in me that needs my care and my witnessing and my nurturing. The positive energy is like, this might be like a great time to go deeper in your relationships, to really forge true intimacy, to show up for yourself and others with vulnerability and strength, and to love bigger, more passionately, to have fantastic sex, and to take a risk to be more honest and authentic with others and yourself, you know, and to really just have the courage to work through your issues, you know, with other people in terms of like partnership and connection to others. So Scorpio has the wherewithal to get us through. I mean, just look at how much has come about from Jupiter, planet of expansion, traveling through Scorpio this last year. You know, I mean, we've had a massive national reveal of the Me Too movement, right? Which was extremely painful to process. And the reveal was very painful. But how important and necessary and validating in a lot of ways it's been that that's been revealed. You know, these wounds have been uncovered so that we can come together and heal them. And so same is true of this other energy too. Now, Venus and Scorpio, you know, it's like, yes, it's like hard. It's hard to do this stuff sometimes, you know, it's like, will it ever end? You know, will I ever get to that pot of gold that somebody told me to look for? And, you know, your life is a pot of gold. All of these things are the pots of gold the whole time. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's a magical balance all the time of like, wow, this fucking sucks, but it's also amazing. You know, what I'm witnessing is both incredibly tough, but then beautiful too. Some of the things that come out of these experiences. So, yeah, good shit, y'all. And then the very next day, Mars, Monday 9:10. Goes back into Aquarius. So we have been fucking through this energy so many times this summer.
Surprise!
Lord! We really had our cages rattled with this Mars energy. It was back in Aquarius in mid-May, and was when it originally began in Aquarius. And after months of retrograde, we're kind of back to where we started. We've come full circle. And I think just I think also coming back to Mars in Aquarius, it's an opportunity to tap back into the ritual kind of too, you know, of the week, which is like, what did you learn? You know, like, what'd you get yourself through? You know, what were all the gifts that were available through this, you know, what shifted in your world, you know, that now is just, you're different from now on. You know, I know there's so much about the way that Mars is our action and aggression. There's so much about how I act and move forward in the world that was so revealing to me that it's like, I'm a changed person because of it in some respects. Like the way I see things is changed. So that is very meaningful, even if my nervous system felt crazy frazzled a lot, you know, with this energy. You know, it was hard to swallow this energy at times. But I thought that it was like very helpful in learning the divine masculine of, you know, again, we've talked about this, of being of service to the feminine aspects of us, you know, being of service to our being, feeling, and creating, and not just like pushing ahead all the time, but like, it's like, how may I help this other part of me, you know, to like have space to feel, to create, to give birth, you know, to feel protected, to feel safe, all within ourselves. So Mars and Aquarius.
I have a question, mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking about this, like, Mars feels very action, you know, but I guess with that, when you're saying it's in service to the feminine, I just envision it standing guard.
Not Mars.
Mars.
The masculine is in service to the feminine.
Mars. Thank you. Is... Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Masculine in service to the feminine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's billions of interpretations, but I just see this, you know, Mars, I think of as moving forward and just like
it is
very, very energetic, but
it's warrior fuel, basically. It is. It's our action. It's like our ability to act and move in the world. So it is very, it's very active and it's very protective. It's, and it is the warrior.
So then I see that as well, like in its still state, I see it standing still at guard, guarding that sacred space of that feminine flow and the non-action space in a way. I don't know. Really, I have no like thesis to this thought, but it just popped up and I wanted to share it and just see where it goes.
Well, you're absolutely onto something there too, because it is a protector, you know, how we act in the world is, I guess what I really want to say about it, I'm trying to formulate the right words, is so much of our action protects our ego and not our divine feminine.
Wow.
You know, So I think that's really what we learned with the Mars retrograde. I know that's actually what I was learning, was like how much of my action and my impulse to act and move forward was really related to how I protect my wounding from like shifting and my patterns from shifting, you know, and a lot of protecting the divine feminine is knowing when not to act and to when to just hold space and let things like fall apart when they need to, and when to receive, and to just be of service to our feeling, not trying to like fix it and not feel and do anything to block it out, you know, in terms of our actions. Instead, our action is, okay, how do I nurture and hold space? So I do think that like you're definitely touching on something that is really important with this energy. Yeah, Mars, it can be friend. Any of these energies can be, you know, perceived friend or foe. You know, it can be the shadow side or it can be the divine aspect. Like, and they're all residing together. And oftentimes we have to really move through our experience of the shadow element in order to get to the reveal of the divine, which was always there. It was always there. We've never not been divine. We've never not been divinely perfect, lovable, worthy. We're not actually fixing anything about ourselves here. We just keep revealing that innate perfection all the time through the work. You know,
dissolving illusions of where we aren't able to perceive that.
Exactly. So, you know, Mars in Aquarius is about like the ingenious ideas, the individual self. I think an independence, and I think that that's maybe going to be an activation with this of like maybe actually being able to move forward, especially with Saturn direct now too. Maybe, some of our plans that we had in place will actually see kind of manifesting, or some of the pieces coming together and feeling more like we're able to trust in, that these things, seems to be moving forward, moving ahead, you know, and then it's really about being open to receive and having courage through the waiting periods and not just like falling on old patterns again of, you know, it couldn't be, magic couldn't happen for me, or it won't last long enough, or these kinds of ideas. So, yeah, I think, you take stock of the summer and be really proud of yourself. All the things that you did this summer, like it was very internal summer, you know? And, this is a great month, September, I feel like, of like, it just feels very dynamic to me. It feels like really utilize the time, get organized, get clear, you know, like try to prioritize this month, make your health a priority so you feel nice and clear, so that you kind of set yourself up a foundation for this Venus retrograde already, you know, so it's like once we hit that, you know, you feel like you've already been kind of like focused on yourself and focused on your spiritual goals and things like that. Yeah. So we've got, cool.
Is that our report? Got,
that's our report for today. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. And so I want to remind people that Rebecca has created two decks, a mantra deck and an affirmation deck with her original artwork. And you can get those at RebeccaConran.com. And they're awesome.
Yeah.
And they're in a pretty black bag with gold lettering. Very cool.
Yeah.
I love that. A little pouch.
Yeah. And the mantra deck is really more of an oracle deck. You know, it's like it's a mantra oracle deck. So it has, it's like oracle cards. They have like, pretty deep explanations into different elements that you might be experiencing, advice-wise.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about them.
Awesome. And if you post and share from the energy report, if y'all, I love when y'all post. Thank you. Just make sure you tag Dream Freedom Beauty and Rebecca Conran, and so we can check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, and I also just want to say that I opened up registration to my private mentorship, which is an 8-week one-on-one course that I do for just a handful of students. And I opened it up early in case there's people that need more time to make their payments in preparation for taking the course. So it's not like they can be paying into it already. All that information is on my website under mentorship. And the classes are going to begin the week of 11/11 or 11/18. So we meet once a week for 8 weeks, and we do your astrology, and we, you know, it's a self-healing mentorship. So I just kind of teach you tools and hold you accountable, give you homework each week. So it might be something that you want to do before you start 2019 too. I already have one person signed up, so if you're interested, definitely email me and let me know, and let's get you signed up.
Very cool. RebeccaConran.com to get contact info and everything. Awesome. And if you're on YouTube, FYI, we have a podcast. If you're watching YouTube, you probably know about the podcast, but it's Dream Freedom Beauty. You can get it on any podcast app, and we got all kinds of interviews and stuff there, so check it out. Awesome. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Natalie. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.